Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today, I'm continuing the sermon on the rest of God that we saw in the book of Genesis, where God said, on the seventh day, God rested. And he also noted in another place that I swore in my wrath lest they enter into my rest. And Apostle Paul and the writers of the scripture were saying, the rest that God was referring to them means there's still a coming another rest that God was alluding to, that they that we enter into that rest will rest from their labors. And I was trying to describe to explain the rest of God in the book of Genesis. God was referring to the rest as the millennial rest of 1,000 year reign of Christ on earth, which we saw in the book of Revelation chapter 20. When Satan and all his cohorts will be locked up in the bottomless pit, and there will be no more diseases, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain for that 1,000 years. And I also pointed it out that when God said, I will restore, say the Lord, God was restoring human beings gradually back to the state that Adam lost. Adam lost immortality by the sin in the Garden of Eden. And when immortality was lost, the Bible says in the day he eat of the forbidden fruit, that same day he would die. So he died before the 1,000 years clocked. And one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. That's why when God said he created the world in 6 days, it was prophetic of 6,000 years for mankind. On the seventh day, God rested. That also is prophetic of the 7,000 year reign of Christ on earth, which we see in the book of Revelation, when Satan will be locked up in the bottomless pit, and there will be peace on earth. Peace and rest from all sorrows, rest from all labors, rest from all diseases and sicknesses. All the demons that are causing those evil things are locked up. Praise the Lord. Then we also talk about the rest of God that we can also enter into when we receive Christ and we are born again. It's a form of rest. It's the state of being where you are free from diseases. You are tasting of the life of the world to come. It's a form of rest. The Bible says we are people that are partakers of the power of the world to come. And that is a form of rest when you are free from diseases and sicknesses because your sins are being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what Apostle Paul was referring to when he said, we that have believed, we have entered into rest. And that is a form of rest also. And that is a healthy state of mind. Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 11, describe what we can enter into, that we are also resting from our labors. Verse 10 said, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, how do we get into it? Let me read further on from verse 12. So he said, verse 11 said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Now, when he said labor to enter into that rest, it's not talking about entering into the millennium, you have to do some laboring. No. If you are born again and you are saved, you are one of the people that if you die, you will be resurrected to enter into the millennium. Because Christ said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In the book of Revelation chapter 20. Now, when he said in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, that is the rest, the third type of rest that I described. The first one is the millennium rest. Another one is this healthy state rest. And of course, the other one is the Hebrews entering the Canaan land. It's a form of rest. Those that will enter in from going through the wilderness journey from Egypt, when they enter Canaan land, it's a form of rest. But that was not the only rest God was referring to. Because after they have entered in many years later, David was saying, today if you will hear his voice, are they not your lest they will not enter into his rest. So now God was referring to the rest of peace of mind. Or God was referring to the rest in the millennium. Because in the millennium, Christ will be reigning from Jerusalem. And the Jews that were dead long time before that time, many of them also will be resurrected to be with the Messiah reigning from Jerusalem. The Bible said to Daniel, the angel actually prophesied to Daniel that Daniel will sleep and rest, and in the latter days he will come into his own lot. Which means if you believe that he is going to be resurrected, is what I'm talking going to. But go thou thy way, that's talking to Daniel, till the end be. For thou, as Daniel, shall rest, as talking of he will be you will fall asleep, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So even Daniel knew that it won't be in his time. He said, you will rest, means that you will die, and go on, and in the end of the days, he will stand in his lot, which means he will be resurrected to stand in his own lot. And that is what we believe, that all those people that are righteous will be resurrected to reign with Christ 1,000 years. So now, if God has promised that some people will not enter into his rest, that means they will not enter into that 1,000-year reign of Christ, even though they were Jews, even though they were in this generation before Christ. If God said they will not enter, it means they will not be resurrected with the righteous to reign for 1,000 years. So God asked what he knew, what he was talking about. Now, let's go further and see that the rest God has promised, we have to pray that we enter in, and we have to labor to enter in. That's what Apostle Paul was talking about. Let us therefore labor, verse Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor, that is, we have to put on all the armor of God, fight the good fight of faith, and walk with Christ to enter into that rest, even the rest of our body at peace in our body right now, resting from all the sickness and disease and plagues and affliction, in the state of good health, is a rest. So lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief will make somebody not inherit that peace of mind and state of mind, because it is faith. By faith we walk with God. And when you believe, he said that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. So when you begin to have what you say, it's a form of rest. When you can say to any mountain, it could be a mountain of sickness, a mountain of disease, and you put it where it belongs, and you don't doubt, that's faith, then you have your rest. So let us not have unbelief. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is giving us that we have to labor to enter into that rest. Let me read again the fact that Christ actually has redeemed us from all the curses that came with the punishment that was put upon Adam. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Here the Apostle Paul was telling us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, what is this promise? The promise of long life, the promise of good health, the promise of having our needs met. Those are the promises of we. And God also promised Abraham, said that we bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. So, when we inherit the promise of Abraham, we have peace of mind. We are in that rest of God. So, it's a form of rest when all the sorrows and labors are removed from us. It's a form of rest. Let me read again some Bible verses for us in John chapter 11, verse 25. Gospel of John chapter 11. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I've preached on that several times. Christ is talking about we have to believe that utterance of Christ to partake of that privilege of never seeing death. And God said that again and again in Gospel of John chapter 51, But verily, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And also in Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 25, Christ also said, verse 25 to 29, let me read that to you. Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 25. These are the promises of God, and some of them he actually telling us what we will become when we use the power of God that he has given to us to become sons of God, what privileges we will have. Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 25. In this whole utterance of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking about he being a son of God, and we, when we become sons of God, we will have this privilege. Verse 25 says, verily, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now that's talking about resurrecting the dead. It's a day that hear shall live. That means calling one individual person out of the grave. One particular person out of the grave. That means there will be a calling of a name. He's saying that from that time that he was here, he was doing it. And in the end, he's going to give the right and privilege to the sons of God so that we will be able to call people out of the grave. When that is accomplished, when that is fulfilled, when we come to that state of the church, then we have, the Lord God said, he has put the last enemy under the feet of the church. As the Bible said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool, which we see in the book of Psalm 110. Now, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We see that also in the letters of Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. And when the last enemy is put under the feet of the church, the feet of Christ, which is the feet of the church, that is when the church can freely call the dead back to life. And this is what Christ was alluding to. He said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That means all those that will come to the stature of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live, individually, call them alive, call them back, not generally now, individually. That's why he said, they that hear shall live. Now he went further, he said, verse 26, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. That is, the sons of God, when we come to that stature of Christ, we will have life, which is the life of God, God incarnating in us saints, in ourselves, to be able to call the dead back to life. And verse 28 said, marvel not at this. Verse 27 said, and for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all, I emphasize that word all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And now that's talking about Christ the Messiah, when he shall come from the sky and call all the dead back to life. At the end of the millennium will be that. The same when he's going to call the dead in Christ, he's going to call, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, because the trumpet shall sound. And the voice of the archangel. And that is another story. And he said, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, Christ was talking, referring to this when he was talking to Martha and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection on the last day that is going to call everybody out of the graves. And he is the life that is going to keep those that are going to be living. He's the one that's going to keep us alive. Bible says Christ in us is the hope of our glory. When they are resurrected, they get a new body and live forever. It is Christ in us. And Apostle John also wrote about that. He said, God, the Father has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That is how he has decided to do it. God has given us eternal life. In the epistle of John, first epistle of John chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So in short, how are we going to get that eternal life and live forever? By getting Jesus into us. And that's why Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ living in us will make us live forever, because he lives forever. He said, because I live, you shall live also. And that's why Apostle John is saying, God has given us eternal life. He's given humanity his eternal life, but the way he's giving it right now is in his Son. When he gave life to Adam, he created Adam and put Adam in the garden, and that was not to die physically. And then came the serpent and deceived Adam to sin against God, and then Adam was punished. He has to die physically, because God sent him away before he could get his hand upon the tree of life. Whatever that symbol, tree of life symbolizes, he didn't get to eat of it, so he couldn't live physically forever. So he was cut short at the age of 930 years, and then since then people have been cutting short. But now God said, I have given unto man eternal life, but this is the way he's giving it. He put that eternal life in his Son when he came as a human being. He said, that is the eternal life, and then you are to receive that Son of God into you. He's going to be living inside us. Jesus Christ in us is the hope of our glory, both Jew and Gentile. So anyone that receives Jesus Christ, you receive life into you, and then you will live forever, because he lives forever. And that's why he resurrected for us, and he's going to live inside us, and he's living forever, and he's going to make us live forever. And that's why he said, anyone that have the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. Now Christ said, I will raise them up at the last day. So those who have received Christ and they have died physically, he allowed that till the last day because of his plan. He said, the last day we raise them up, and then from that time they live forever. We that are alive till the day of the rapture, or we that are alive and he's going to take us in translation, he's going to change us, he's going to change suddenly in a twinkle of an eye. At the last trump, we will change to that immortal body. Christ in us already, because the Holy Spirit is in us. And then we will live forever. Christ is going to make us live forever. And that is what he was alluding to when he said, those that are dead will be resurrected and they shall live forever. And those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And that is what I just read in the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 25 to 29. Now you can see that the plan of God for humanity is great. Wouldn't you like to be partakers of this? If you are of another religion, you have been deceived. You need to come to Jesus Christ. He is the life. Because in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. According to the book of Colossians. In Christ Jesus dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Bible also said, that is our hope. Christ in us is the hope of our glory. And the only way we can inherit that eternal life is by having Jesus Christ living inside us. As we have just read to you, Apostle John in 1st Epistle of John chapter 5 that we just read said, God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son of God in you, you don't have that life. And that is how God has did it. And he is the one that is doing these things, and you cannot say he has to do yours differently. Praise the Lord. This is the way he has decided to do it. When he did it for Adam, Adam lost it. So now he said, I'm going to do it through my Son this time. And the Son has eternal life and he's going to be living inside us forever. Now remember, the angel told Daniel that this time God is making everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. In Daniel chapter 9, let me remind you of that Bible verse again that we preached about in Somalia Samos. In Daniel chapter 9, the angel was telling Daniel what will transpire in the 70 weeks that was earmarked for the nation of Israel. And we know that that 70 weeks was prophetic. But this is what the angel told Daniel. From Daniel chapter 9, from verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. I have described what that meant in the previous sermon. And to make an end of sins. I have described what that meant in the previous sermon. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. I also described what that meant in the previous sermon. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. That is the one I'm trying to talk about here. The Lord, everything was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ coming. everything he was describing here was fulfilling the Lord Jesus Christ coming and bringing in everlasting righteousness, is what God planned for mankind. Everlasting righteousness. Remember, Adam sinned, even though God created Adam fresh from the handmaid of God, fresh from the ground. But when he was tested, he failed. And that was how he sinned. Okay? But God said this time, he is going to bring everlasting righteousness to the man that he's creating in his image. We that have been born again and he's been perfecting, he's perfecting, and that's why he's taking a process. You may think, well, Christ will have come by now. Oh, there's a process. It takes a process to bring gold out of the rubble. So that process is what God is doing. He says he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. And then to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. But the everlasting righteousness, what we are talking about now, that Christ is to bring in everlasting righteousness. And that means Christ is going to be living inside us to make us be to have everlasting righteousness. It has to be Christ in us, is the hope of our glory. Not by our own doing it ourselves. When we are born again, that is, he gave us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, earnest of our inheritance. But in the end, it is Christ's life in us. That's why Apostle John was saying, God has given unto us eternal life in 1 John chapter 5. He said, but this life is in his Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's in his Son, Jesus Christ. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. That is 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. So, by having Jesus Christ in us, is that everlasting righteousness. Because I and my Father are one. There's no way we can transgress God when he's incarnated in us and taking us over completely. And yet we are still individual, yet he's taking us over completely. And right now you may say, well, the Holy Ghost is in you, but you still have your will, and somehow you think that you can still offend because your will is allowed. But when God brings in everlasting righteousness, we become one with the Son of God, and we cannot sin again. We can never sin. Why? Because he said everlasting righteousness. That is the plan of God for we sins of the Most High God. And that is why it takes a process. Like gold has to be purified in fire. And all this we are going through as sins of the Most High God right here now is part of the purifying of gold. And in the end, Christ said, I will raise them up at the last day. Christ will be inside us and we have this everlasting righteousness. And we shall never be able to sin against the Father for eternity. Because we are going to live with him for eternity. And not like Satan that fell and was cast out of the throne of God. Why? Because it was for a purpose. But you see, God has loved us so much that he has planned everlasting righteousness for us. Let us praise his holy name and yield to him. So as many as has this hope in himself, purify yourself even as he is pure. Praise ye the Lord. Now let me just read some more Bible verses that talks about the redemption of our body. Because this is one of the things that the Lord has planned. But it's like I said, it's a process. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 23, the Apostle Paul talks about the redemption of our body. Because our body has not been fully redeemed yet. And that is why all those sickness and diseases are still having impact upon the human body. Even when we are sins of the Most High God. But Apostle Paul said here in verse 23, Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Let me read from verse 21. Because the creature itself, that is the earth, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now let me read from verse 17 and 18. Because Apostle Paul is giving us some narration here. See, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, verse 18, the sufferings that we human beings, we Christians are going through at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This glory is what I'm talking about, the everlasting righteousness, when we shall be glowing like light. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, when he appears now, he glows. We shall be glowing like that in the glory that will be revealed in us in the end. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is, we sons of God, we glow. Even before we leave this planet, some of them will begin to manifest this. Verse 20 says, for the creature, that's the earth, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So Apostle Paul said they are waiting. We are also still waiting for that redemption of our body. That is when our body is redeemed, no sickness can hurt us anymore. We will be immortal. And that is the plan of God, to clothe us with immortality, that we issue from inside us, not just something coming and covering us, issue from inside us everlasting righteousness, Christ dwelling in us, we glow forth and make our spirit glow. The Bible said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, which means our spirit is like the filament of a bulb. If I can use that technological jargon to describe it, when you look at this incandescent light that we use in electricity, it has a tiny little wires inside it that is called filament. And when you pass electricity to it, it glows, and the whole bulb lighted up the room. Well, that's one form of light. Now you can also look at the fluorescent light that also have two cathode contacts at the ends, and inside that tube is a gas. And when the electricity is passed through from one end of that tube to the other end, the electrons go through that gas that is filling that tube, and it's a form of gas, different type of gas. And the particles hitting one another make the gas to glow. So you can say that gas is like a particle. So when something is going through it and it glow forth light, and light comes out of that gas, that we have fluorescent light. Now, that is what human beings have been able to discover. But you realize that our body is like that, it's like a, just like a shell. Inside us is our spirit, which is like that particle gas, or like that filament, that when you pass electrons, and what is this electron? That is the power of the Holy Ghost, that is going to ignite that spirit, and the spirit will make the whole body to glow as light. And we can glow in form of infrared light, we can glow in form of x-rays and you just disappear, or you can glow in form of a visible light wavelength. And that is what the Lord is making us to understand, being an electronics engineer myself, that is what He's teaching us to know, so that these things is already being revealed to us, but human beings will not be able to ever get to it through the laboratory, through the test tubes. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. When He lighten our candle like that, we shall grow like Christ Jesus Christ. And Christ in us is the Holy Spirit in us, that is that hope that is make us, going to make us immortal. I've given you some of this explanation so that you can understand that the plan of God for us is great. That's why Apostle Paul said, whatever suffering we are suffering in this present time, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If you have this hope of this glory, it is time for you to seek the Lord. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding so that you can understand this more. And search the scriptures yourself, and you will see that some of these things are true. May God bless you. This has been the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. On the internet, our website is gospeldistribution.org. Gospeldistribution.org. Write to us and we shall send you more exhortation. And you can get some of these sermons on YouTube from Gospel Distribution Ministry or from our website. And God bless you. Amen.
This is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. On the internet, it's www.gospeldistribution.org. Join us again next week. God bless you.